words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I feel called by the Holy Spirit of God to hold up a mirror, a reminder about ourselves and what we are going through as a community. Not necessarily about the most recent scandals or outrages or fears on a national level, but about being survivors of major natural disaster here locally. We as a people here in Houston, Texas, have gone through 3 years in a row of natural disasters that affected us, our friends, our neighbors. Remember the Memorial Day flood, the Tax Day flood, and Hurricane Harvey, one on top of the other. At this point in our journey together, many feel tired, grouchy, a little disconnected from each other, our highs a little flat, our lows a little easier to reach. And here we are in Lent, a time of starkness, a time of truth-telling, a time of renewal, but a time also of looking at the things we don't necessarily want to look at because we want to get up and get on with our lives. Much of what the church calls the season of Lent, much of what it is all about, can be summed up from the verse of Psalm 51 that the choir sang so beautifully today. And that verse is, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," or "put a new and right spirit within me." I've sensed and heard confessed to some extent that lately in many people's lives, there is a spirit of meh, a spirit of deflation, a spirit of tiredness, moving amongst us somewhat these days. In order for a renewed spirit to be within us, we have to be aware of certain truths that affect us, whether we like it or not, whether we think we've moved on or not, whether we admit these truths or not, these dynamics. And they affect us whether we are rich or poor, gay or straight, black or white, or in between, whether we are native or foreign born, whatever gender. We are sharing a singular reality that affects us, that weighs on us, that allows that spirit of meh to pervade. After a disaster, daily life is Lenten for a long time. We need to call on God for a spirit of cleansing and a spirit of renewal to put that right spirit, to renew the right spirit within us. So I'm going to talk a little bit about a sociological reality, the one that affects us all right now. And it's called the emotional life cycle of a disaster. And there are five phases that a community lives through, collectively and individually, after they've been victims and survivors to whatever extent of a natural disaster. This has been researched and proven extensively by Zunin and Myers. No one is immune to this emotional life cycle of a disaster. I am going through it. You are going through it, your best friend is going through it, your worst enemy is going through it. No matter how resilient, responsible, educated, strong, productive, flexible, healthy, awesome you are, no matter how awesome you are going through it. We are all going through the emotional life cycle of a disaster. Specifically, let's just take the very most recent disaster, Hurricane Harvey. You all know, you were here, in August of last year, 6.5 months ago, we were tensing up and preparing for whatever this storm named Harvey would bring. We were in the pre-disaster phase, the first phase in the emotional life cycle of a disaster, living under constant threat and warnings. Then we felt the impact. Lives were lost. Property was lost. Peace of mind was lost. Cherished possessions that had no value to anyone but ourselves lost. During the impact and in the taking of inventory afterwards, we were sustained and given hope by the sacrificial actions of friends and strangers, of neighbors and civil servants, of first responders and relatives, of our church community, and even of the Cajun Navy. This was the second phase, the heroic phase. It is perhaps the shortest phase in the emotional life cycle. After it, though, comes another good phase, comes the honeymoon phase, a phase of community cohesion in which the prevailing attitude is, yes, we've got this. We can do this. We can overcome this. Open doors and wallets and hearts combine to alter the narrative of tragedy to one of good fortune and togetherness that will overcome all odds, shortcomings, and differences. The height of good emotion is encountered at this time. It doesn't get any better than the honeymoon phase. Cue the long, slow, steep descent into the next phase of disillusionment. The heroics and the honeymoon are unsustainable for the long term. We're only human, after all. Some people have to get back to their regular lives. The world moves on. Another disaster hits somewhere else. Personal crises that are just part of normal human life. Personal crises like unemployment, illness, breakups, a death in the family, all add to the stress that we're already under. Help is harder to find. You're run down as if you have a constant low-grade fever. It's harder to absorb painful realizations. Things take longer to accomplish. You don't even know why, right? It's been 6 months. Price gouging continues. It's community incohesion this time. Everyone seems to be sick repeatedly. And there is a monstrous flu strain right out of a B-grade movie that's taking people down all over. Again, this is the disillusionment phase, and it feels like the longest. It's the fourth phase in the life cycle, the emotional life cycle of a natural disaster. It involves so much loss, this phase that we are in right now. Coming to terms with what has occurred, grappling with anger, separations. It involves working through grief intensely, living through triggers, extreme nostalgia about the way things were, deep lament, and a constant irritation. This is the phase we're in right now, 6.5 months after Harvey, 2 years after the tax day floods, 3 years after the Memorial Day flood. We have to go through this phase in order to get to the last and longest phase of the emotional life cycle of the disaster. That phase is reconstruction, and it happens over years. But disillusionment is the hardest. In the disillusionment phase, daily life is Lent. It's a long Lenten journey, spilling out over the 40 days. The impact of Hurricane Harvey was devastating. It changed us. Even if you were not physically affected much, and many of you were, we were all of us who lived through it, affected psychologically, emotionally, behaviorally, spiritually. I've seen the spiritual struggles, and I've done my best to support and walk with you through them. We are all survivors. According to the experts, what survivors need to get into the reconstruction phase, the new beginning, is to feel safe and secure, to have basic needs met, to tell our story, to reconnect with our coping skills, and to build and increase our resiliency. So today, we get these scriptures assigned for the fifth Sunday in Lent. And the scripture has something directly to say to us, the survivors who are in this disillusionment phase. There is a promise directly from God for us, a covenant with which to be safe and secure, grounded in the truth of God's love and grace for us. God says, through the prophet Jeremiah, "This is the covenant that I will make. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." No end. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. World without end is implied. This is not a covenant for good times alone, though surely good times will be had again. It is a covenant of salvation, of redemption, of promise, of love. God will not desert us in this phase of disillusionment or suffering. God promises us that God will forgive us, that God will be with us, that we are God's. God is with us in our complexities and complications. God is patiently with us in our suffering, in our disconnection, in our grief, in our nostalgia, in our acting out. God sent his Son, who suffered the worst pain and humiliation that a human could suffer. And by this experience of the Christ amongst us, and by his redemption of it, by this we know ourselves to be fully understood when we suffer, when we lament, when we act out. He did not abandon us, but came to ease our pain. He calls us into that passion with us, with him, to bring understanding and redemption to each other there. He holds us up in this phase, in our disillusionment. He holds us up until we can stand alone again, until we can help each other again. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour to glorify God. Jesus would not have tried to skip over the disillusionment phase of the emotional life cycle of a disaster, nor would he have wallowed in it. He entered into pain to transform it and asked us to mirror that love whenever we possibly could. For people, we, who have been through so much, whose last 6.5 months, well, most of it anyway, have been a daily Lent, for those of us who are survivors, who recognize the phase of disillusionment we are in, let us be gentle with each other. Let us renew the right spirit within our hearts. Let us remember the law that is written in our hearts. Let us be gentle with each other, aware of our fragility. Let us use the energy we have to listen to each other's stories again and again, to grieve together, to remind each other that we are a people of the covenant, forgiven and forgiving. To remind each other that Jesus is with us, transforming our pain, calling us to alleviate and transform the pain of others, praying for the cleansing of our hearts and a renewal of right spirit within us. We can see the dawn of Easter. It is so close, just there. Beyond the disillusionment. Let us walk with Jesus towards it. Amen.